And good morning and welcome to La Porte Church of Christ, November 30th, 2025. We welcome you folks out there. We thank you for being here this morning. Before we get started, let's go to our Heavenly Father with a word of prayer. Oh, dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for all the many blessings that you bestow upon us each and every day. Lord, we're just grateful to be here. We're grateful, thankful, and Lord, we just ask that you shine your face down upon us as we gather together here in person and those that gather with us through the internet and through DVD Church. We just pray, Father, that we may be pleasing in your sight. In Jesus Christ's name we pray, amen. We're going to start off this morning with a song, Faith is the Victory.
Encamped along the hills of light, ye Christian soldiers, rise and press the battle ere the night shall veil the glowing skies. Against the foe in vale below, let all our strength be hurled. Faith is the victory we know that overcomes the world. Faith is the victory, faith is the victory. Oh, glorious victory that overcomes the world. His banner over us is love, our sword the word of God. We tread the road the saints above with shouts of triumph trod. By faith they like a whirlwind's breath swept on o'er every field. The faith by which they conquered death is still our shining shield. Faith is a victory, faith is a victory. Oh, glorious victory that overcomes the world. On every hand the foe we find drawn up in dread array. Let tents of ease be left behind and onward to the fray. Salvation's helmet on each head with truth all girt about. The earth shall tremble neath our tread and echo with our shout. Faith is the victory, faith is the victory. Oh, glorious victory that overcomes the world. To him that overcomes the foe, white raiment shall be given. Before the angels he shall know his name confessed in heaven. And onward from the hill of light, our hearts with love aflame, will vanquish all the hosts of night in Jesus' conquering name. Faith is a victory, faith is a victory. Oh, glorious victory that overcomes the world. Faith is a victory, faith is a victory. Oh, glorious victory that overcomes the world.
Amen. And we've got a message by Brother Zach. We ended up recording this one late last night, but was able to get it ready, and we'll have that coming up right about now.
And greetings to the once lost but now found sheep of the house of Israel. Today, this day, November 30th, 2025, we here at the La Porte Church of Christ welcome all of you out there here this morning. We're glad that you're able to join us. And we begin by defining who Jesus Christ is. It never changes. It never deviates. That's why we say it every single week. Because if you don't know the word and you don't know the true definition of Jesus Christ, then you don't know Jesus Christ. And that's found in John chapter 1. I begin by reading in verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through him, and apart from him, nothing came into being that has come into being. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. And in verse 14, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we saw his glory, glory as of the only begotten from the Father, full of grace and truth. And that, ladies and gentlemen, is the definition of Jesus Christ. It always has been, and it always will be. And we here at Scriptures for America do our absolute best to project accurately the Word of God, whether it's popular with the Judeo-Christian, whether it's popular with anybody else. Our King is King Jesus. Our Commander and Chief is Jesus Christ. He is King of Israel, the 12 tribes that formed a multitude of nations, as according to Genesis 17, which is, in fact, the Anglo-Saxon, the Germanic, Scandinavian, Celtic, and kindred people. Those are the ones that hear his voice and promote his wonderful name across the globe. Now, there is much leaven in the Anglo-Saxon's mind because of false teachings, which Jesus Christ warned us about. He said, beware of false prophets, wolves in sheep's clothing, and inwardly, they're actually ravenous wolves. Because if those wolves get the sheep to disobey the word that became flesh, therefore, they have authority over God's people, and what they have done over the generation, five or six generations, I guess I don't really know, is they have robbed Israel of her identity. They do not preach that Israel is a multitude of nations. They do not preach that their name was changed from Israel to the sons of God, as is prophesied in Hosea. They do not preach that the new covenant is with the house of Israel and the house of Judah. They do not preach that Jesus came back only for the lost sheep of the house of Israel, those 10 northern tribes that received that writ of divorce and was hauled off into Assyrian captivity. They do not preach that the house of Judah was hauled off into Babylonian captivity, though they did not receive that writ of divorce, as it says in Jeremiah. If you believe anything other than what I have just said to you, everything I've said to you, most of you out there know the Bible, for where it is in the Bible, the verse, I've quoted Hosea, Matthew, and Jeremiah so far. Those are all word that became flesh. And if you believe other than that, then you do not believe in the true Jesus Christ. Why? One, you are uneducated. Two, you've been believing the lies of the preachers that tell you the things that you want to hear to make you feel good. The body of Christ is the bride of Christ. One of the things about the female mindset is they don't actually want to know the truth. Everything's done based on how they feel. And if you say things that make them feel good, they will like you. If you say things that they don't like, then you have an issue, despite whether it's true or not. The house of Israel and the house of Judah have a bad problem of not wanting to believe what is truth. It is a serious issue, it is a bad habit, and it has been ingrained in them from the generations before. There is nothing new under the sun. Repeat. We here at this ministry do our absolute best to lead people into true repentance. That is what we do. That is our business. That is our game. That is our mission. How do we want to do that? There's only one way that it can actually truly be done. There is only one way, is you have to know the word and to be able to decipher it, the simplicity of it. then that way you can be one of those ones, those few that actually find it. You can be like the camel that goes through the eye of the needle. How is that done? By what's going on between your ears. That is it. What you have as a mental guide is actually what is the difference between those that know and those that do not. Now, there are many that think that they know, but in reality do not actually know. And when you try to convince them otherwise, it's actually a pretty tough thing to do. It takes a long time to unlearn something. But we here at Scriptures for America do our absolute best to tell the word as it is, whether you like it or not. There is a whole community out there that believes that if you just accept Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior, that you're good to go. They don't believe in water baptism, which in one of the letters that's in the New Testament of Peter, that says, baptism saves you. The death of your old man. What you are doing is killing the old man. Rising up as a new creature, as a new individual, with a different set of values, navigating this nasty world full of evil, leaven, misinformation. You sit there and you watch the news, you watch alternative news, whether it be on the internet or Fox or CNN or your local news. You don't know what's right. You don't know what's right, but you can always, always use the Bible as your guide. Get close to it, the Word, and the Lord, our God, Jesus Christ, will see you through. That is it. Last week I did a sermon, and it was based on a video that I had played for you by a young man by the name of Jacob Lane. And I got an email forwarded to me by Brother Jason, and it was from a lady in Minnesota. And after reading that email, I realized I really didn't know who this guy was. Now, mind you, I'm a very busy guy. I spend very little time watching the news. I spend very little time to see what's going on in this world. I used to be all involved in it, but how do I say this? Literally, I came to the realization that I can only control what I do, and I just simply, for the most part, do not pay attention to what anybody else is doing. And every once in a while, I'll get a little clip here and there. And with that video, I was very impressed with that man. And then when I read that email from that lady from down south, she knew who he was. And she gave me a description and some history on that guy. Well, then Brother Jason sent me another video about this guy. And we have it here for you. So this Jacob Lane, who is this guy? What is he about? Well, let's watch this video a second, and when we come back, I'm going to give my 2 cents on it. So, Brother Jason, if you could play that video, I would appreciate it.
In the West, there are still a few good... What brings you out here today?
We want to make sure our children can grow up in the same America that I grew up in. White Christian country. Our founding fathers' blood soaks this land. Not for Muslims and Islamic jihadists to play their prayer calls where our children walk to preschool.
I'm sorry, I just had to make another reminder for you guys. In case you weren't aware, the man that is holding the giant cross trying to support Christianity, his name is Jake Lang. Now, the most interesting trait about Jake is he is able to blend in seamlessly with wherever he is. Because for some reason, he tries to hide and remove every single trace he has had. For instance, kissing the wall in Israel. As a reminder for you guys, bragging about his sister serving in the IDF. Jake Lang is Jewish. He is not Christian. Who is trying to cause conflict between Christians and Muslims while he is Jewish. Do you see what is going on?
What did you guys think about that? Now we have this individual here who's obviously done more research on this man, and this Jacob Lane, and he is saying that this guy is a Jewish Zionist. Well, if you look at, if you think about the video that we saw before, everything that he was saying was correct. 100% correct. You go over in Detroit, which I have witnessed with my own eyes. I have seen it. I don't spend a lot of time on the east side of the state just because, honestly, I think it's gross. It's full of a lot of... You go over into D-Town or Detroit, you now you do have a huge Muslim population. Everything that that man said is, yeah, it is true. They are breeding like rabbits. Yeah, they have values that contradict the word of God. They don't hold the great I am as a, as the supreme God. And it's just kind of a filth hole. And then on the other hand, if you go into the old school part of D-Town, it is filled with a very large black community to where if you are a white individual, and now I've never have personally had this happen to me because I'm not stupid, but I've been in those areas before. The last time I was in there, I was doing a billboard cleaning, or I was cutting up billboard for viewage for this billboard company. And I assure you, it's not a place that a white boy wants to be for too long. I promise you, you have to look mean and you got to be willing to back it up. But when you drive down those towns or down those streets, like 12th Ave, and you're a white guy, you do not stop at a red light. Because the chances are very, there's very high chance that you are going to be robbed, beat, or shot. And I do know a guy that used to live over there, and he was sitting at a, he got turned around. This was back before Google Maps. And he was sitting at a red light, and a cop pulled up to him and said, "What are you doing? You do not stop at red lights here. You go." So that's the kind of town that the inner city of Detroit, Michigan is. It is not Christian. It is not a safe place to raise your children. It is a place to avoid, is what it is. Back to the first video from last week. Everything that that man said was correct. Are, well, as far as my knowledge, the Middle Eastern people are descendants, the way I've been told, and I've never really done a lot of research into it, simply because I don't care. I only really care about what I'm doing and what my people are doing. I want them to be blessed. But they're descendants of Ishmael. Their God is not our God. Their king is not our king. They do not respect our God. They do not respect and appreciate the blessings that our God has put on this land to bless his people. And those that are outside of the 12 tribes of Israel, what are they supposed to do, as it says in the Old Testament? Cast off their culture, bind themselves to our laws, and appreciate our God. As it says in Isaiah, God says, do not think, he's talking to the eunuch and the foreigner, if you keep my Sabbath holy and obey, I will put you in a place higher than the sons of Israel. I didn't say it. God said it. So don't get mad at me, you Saxons that think you're high and mighty. It's what God said. Those people do not appreciate the safety, the culture of a Christian nation. Now, the reason why they're able to be here is because, and excuse me, establish a foothold in a community like that. And then before you know it, they're, you know, they are on the councils. They are, you know, on the school boards. They're weaseling their way in and changing the rules is because of our people, the Anglo-Saxon white people, listening to these Judeo-Christian preachers wanting to cuddle everybody and giving them a shot and examining their God's rules and saying that it's okay. It's not. But what is the one thing that Mr. Lang didn't talk about in that video we played last week? He pointed out an enemy. He was obviously rooting for the white man to rid themselves of this enemy that infiltrated my home state on the east side. Everything he said was correct. But what was he deflecting? What was he not saying? What information did he not give you and me? Which actually made me knee-jerk react and play it last week. He didn't identify the other enemy. He never once mentioned the other enemy. The ones that actually have control of the government as a whole, and what I mean by that, the federal and the state, and they've got all these politicians blackmailed or bought or whatever they got going on. He never once mentioned that enemy, which is your Jewish Zionist. He never once mentioned it. And here it is. What is this guy, according to this video we played for you today? He's a Jewish Zionist. So what is he doing? He's out there. I'm sure he's got a huge following. He's stirring people up. And he's pointing. And he's saying, look here. Look at these SOBs. Outbreeding you. I mean, he didn't even mention the Latino group. On my side of the state, we're getting overrun with them. At least they work hard and they integrate into the community. And, you know, I used to work with a lot of them doing concrete and stuff like that. They're good dudes. I mean, they're illegal, but, you know, our people has been so horrible at training that their young people to take their place. What did you think was going to happen? Your lack of foresight, Anglo. What did you think was going to happen? Anyways, I got off on a sidetrack because my side of the state is just as guilty as the other side. We're just dealing with a different group of people. But this guy never mentioned the other enemy. What Pastor Peters would say, the Wizard of Oz, the who's behind the scenes, the cloak, the curtain, or whatever. The Zionists, the Jewish Zionists that are they're influencing our laws, Babylonianizing it, mixing it up, having God's law and Babylonian law mixed up. He never mentioned that. He never mentioned the enemy with the real power. I'll tell you something. So we're just good because we're specifically talking about Muslims and now what this guy didn't mention, which is the huge factor. This Jew that is stirring up the people and getting them to, what was he doing? He was getting the public's mind focused on only half the problem. He was getting the public's mind focused on a symptom. It's not the root of the problem. The root of the problem is the Anglo-Saxon, Germanic, Scandinavian, Celtic, and kindred people are not educated in the Word of God, and they have no idea who the Jewish Zionist is. They think they're allies. It's turning on them, actually, because there's a lot of people that are turning on the state of Israel, which we read a few weeks ago. They left, our forefathers left their names to the chosen ones that God chose as a curse to be them. You know it's true. I read it to you out of the Bible. And they are small. Who are they? They are Jacob's brother Esau. So he's over there pointing at another brother, which would be a half-brother, Ishmael, saying, go get him. Don't pay any attention to what I'm doing. Don't pay any attention to the political influence that my people are inflicting and infecting our culture. Don't pay any attention to that. Go get those guys. Take the attention off of us. Because there's a lot of attention going on. So it's not that he lied. It's that he only gave you a half truth. He gave me a half truth. When I seen it first, I was like, well, at least somebody's starting to wake up. He was already awakened. He already knew. I took the bait. I got to eat a little bit of crow here. Because of my lack of education on that dude, I went with it. Therefore, I was in agreement with him. And because I didn't, the thought never entered my mind. See, that's how crafty those Zionists are. The thought never entered my mind. This cat might be my enemy. What is he doing? Whispering in my ear. And I loved what I heard. Never once did the thought enter my mind last week when I was preaching that this guy might be a Zionist. Is it the Zionist's fault that I believed him? No. I read a book a few months back called The Psychology of Achievement. And there's been a few other books where I've read this statement, but no matter what situation you're in, you have made every single decision to get you to the point that you're at this moment. And what you have to do is take full responsibility for the situation that you're in, the financial lack or prosperity, knowledge, your political point of view, and say, I am responsible for me, and I need to make the changes that I need to do in order to correct whatever it may be. I did not do my homework on that, dude. And now me and the lady from Mississippi are both getting called out on it. If we don't police ourselves here in our own group, ain't nobody going to do it. If I don't police myself to myself, then I'm not going to be able to browbeat anybody else for their lack. But the guy was right on what he said. And he was really sneaky about who he left out. That charismatic talk that just, you know, it's just music to a sheep's ears. If you have your Bibles, turns me to John chapter 9. Now, this is when Jesus is getting ready to go to the to be crucified. I begin by reading 19, verse 5. Jesus then came out wearing a crown of thorns and a purple robe. Pilate said to them, "Behold the man." So the chief priest and the officer saw him. They cried out, saying, "Crucify, crucify." Pilate said to them, "Take him yourselves and crucify him, for I find no guilt in him." Who was doing it? It was the chief priest and the officers. Who are the chief priests? The Jewish Zionists. They're screaming, "Crucify him, crucify him." And Pilate's like, "This dude has done nothing wrong. Do it yourself." What did they end up getting them to do? They stirred up the whole community. All the people were there. And what'd they do? They went along with it. And then Peter says to him in Acts 38, "This man, Jesus, whom you crucified," he didn't point the finger at the chief priest. He pointed the finger at the sons of Israel. Why did he do that? Because they believed a lie or a half-truth or whatever it may be. Let's continue by reading. The Jews answered, "We have a law, and by that law, he ought to die because he himself made him out to be the Son of God." Therefore, when Pilate heard this statement, he was even more afraid, and he entered into the Praetorium again and said to Jesus, "Where are you from?" Jesus gave him no answer. So Pilate said to him, "You do not speak to me? Do you not know that I have the authority to release you and have the authority to crucify you? Jesus answered, "You have no authority over me unless it has been given to you from above. For this reason, he who delivered me to you has the greater sin. As a result of this, Pilate made effort to release him, but the Jews cried out, saying, 'If you release this man, you are no friend of Caesar. Everyone who makes himself out to be a king opposes Caesar.'" So what they do, they turn the tables on him. They manipulate. They mental manipulate to get their way. They're a bunch of Edomites. Esau loved to get into people's heads. And this is what they're doing there. Now, Esau, Jewish Zionist, in my mind, in today's term, they're the same thing as I see it. you better be careful. There's a lot of heat coming on you. People are getting really weary of your garbage. The younger generation, which I am so proud of them for this. There is a young generation. What is it? They're not millennials. I don't know what you call them. Like, there's going to be so many of them now I can't think straight about it. But they're waking up. Why are they waking up? Because they recognize the hopelessness that there's no hope. How can they prosper? How can they just, you know, Israelites are sheep, for the most part, are very peaceful people. They don't want Israelite men. You know, Israelite men don't really want to fight. They don't really want to go to war. They just want to go out, do what they're supposed to do, provide for their families, come home to a loving wife, have a few kids, and be the king of their household. They want peace. They don't want to live in war. But as Solomon says in Ezekiel, there's a time of peace and there is a time for war. So that's biblical. So Israelites they're not naturally aggressive people, but when they decide to throw down, whoever it is that is their opponent, they have a huge problem. What I believe you're seeing there was what that guy was doing. The deflection, pointing out an enemy, incorrect. Allah is a false god. Allah does not bless Middle Eastern people the way our God blesses us because of our obedience. Those guys try to be as obedient as they can be. Look at their crap hole that they come out of. Where's the blessing? Why on earth would you follow a God like that? Now, on the other hand, you have these Zionists working for Satan that understand exactly if you get God's people to disobey his law and be disobedient, they are empowered. Biblical. I just explained this to my dad this morning while we were drinking coffee. Maybe I got through them, maybe I didn't. I walked right through the process. It's simple. Every action is the equal and opposite reaction. It's simple. This is why things are the way they are. It's because of the disobedience of the sons of Israel. But when they get mad and they are seeking for relief of their oppressors, and they start getting educated, and they start up to who the players are, because sheep are stupid. We all know this. Then Esau is going to have a huge issue. All of those people that Esau thought were his ally will ransack him. Because our God trumps your God, who is Satan. And the catalyst for all of that power that you possess, Esau, is repentance of the sons of Israel. And Esau, you might think, oh no, it's not going to happen. I have his mind trapped. Read the book of Judges, because that's where we're going next. Read the book of Judges. political influence led to captivity, repentance led to freedom. Why? Because our God, the great I Am, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, as a few Christmases ago, I did a quick overview of the husband that loves his wife, even though she's a harlot. And we read how God would take Israel out and talk softly to her. And he just wanted her to return back to him. What was the result? He's going to save her. He's going to save her because of her repentance. Repentance makes God's heart throb. And what's he going to say? My girl, I'm coming, honey. I'm coming to save you. He does it every single time. One other thing I said last week. It's not the Jew Zionist's fault. It's not anybody's fault. It's Israel's fault because of the lack of knowledge. It's Israel's fault because he's so dumb. And she believes whatever any come-by-lately tells her, well, this is what God wants. This is what God thinks. What is it? It's all false gods, and she loves it. Israel better be willing to swallow some truth pills when she is willing to do that. It's over. When Israel wakes up and adorns herself in her clean clothes and takes those chains off in her, those chains of enslavement, of captivity, because of the stupid principalities of this world, rules of this world, as we read in Colossians last week, that's what the chains are. It's what's going on between your ears. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to Judges chapter 8. And this is about Gideon. Now, Zeba and Zalmunna were in Karkor. I can't say these words. I'm sorry. I bet all you guys sit there and laugh at me at my horrible pronunciation of these Old Testament stuff. That's okay. You can laugh at me. And their armies were about 15,000 men. All who were left of the entire army, the sons of the east, for the fallen was about 120,000 swordmen. So they'd been locking horns for a while, and Israel was out cleaning up the land. Gideon went up by the way of those who lived in the tents on the east of Noba and Jogbeha, and attacked the camp when the camp was unsuspecting. So Gideon, he's on the warpath. He ain't stopping. He's doing what God commissioned him to do. He is removing the enemies from his land. Repent or perish. Okay, well, have it your way. And he's over there sticking them. When Zeba and Zalmunna fled, he pursued them and captured the two kings in Midian, Zeba and Zalmunna, and routed the whole army. Then Gideon, the son of Joash, returned from the battle by a set of Heres, and he captured a youth from Succoth and questioned him. When the youth wrote down for him the princes of Succoth and its elders, 77 men. He came to the men of Succoth and said, behold, Zeba and Zalmana, concerning whom you hunted me, saying, are the hands of Zeba and Zalmana already in your hand, that we should give bread to your men who are weary? He took the elders and thorns of the wilderness, and he took the elders of the city and thorns of the wilderness and briars, and disciplined the men of Succoth with them. Now, I don't know if he killed them. It kind of sounds like he beat the ever-living daylights out of them. That's what it sounds like. He tore down the tower of Penuel and killed the men of the city. Then he said to Zeba and Zalmana, what kind of men were they whom you killed at Tabor? And they said, they were like you, each one resembling the son of a king. And he said, they were my brothers, the sons of my mother, as the Lord lives. Only if you had let them live, I would not kill you. So what he's saying, he's like, you killed my brothers. Had you just spared them, I wouldn't be killing you. But you sealed your own fate, and here it comes. So he said to Jether, his firstborn, rise, kill them. But the youth not draw his sword, for he was afraid, because he was still a youth. Then Zeba and Zalmana said, rise up yourself and fall on us, for as the man, so is his strength. So Gideon arose and killed Zeba and Zalmana, and took the crescent ornaments which were on their camel's neck. Then the men of Israel, so what did he do? This peaceful sheep, you all know how he started. He didn't want to be the guy that was chosen. He had God do here and there. You sure it's me? I'm the smallest. I'm the least in my family. You're choosing me. Quite a different attitude from that point to the point we just read. The point is, when Israelite believes what is right and wrong, knows the will of his God, he will do it. Israelites are extreme. I'm not going to continue. I'm running out of time. I sent Jason a picture of my dad before we started recording. And I'd like Jason to put the picture up of my dad right now. And if you know my dad right now, how do I describe my dad? My dad is one of my heroes. He always has been. I've always looked up to him, pound for pound. He is one of the toughest men I know. And what I mean, my dad's not a fighter. Well, in that picture, you probably think he is. But my dad's a very humble person. He works. He's 77 years old. He's going to be 77. He works tirelessly every day. To this day, he trained three sons to be tenacious men, be honorable men, and he taught us what it means to not quit. He used to have an analogy when I was growing up. He had an analogy. He says, no matter how tough it gets, if you just got a finger hold, all it takes is a finger hold, you're still in the game. I'll never forget that. But this picture of my dad you see here, this was his country didn't ask, but told him, you will go to war. And my dad is the one that is in the front and center, kneeling down. And he was in the 4th Infantry, 1st of the 8th E Company. And E Company was a mortar platoon. And attached to that mortar company was this platoon of which you see a group of guys. This platoon consisted of actual team members was, I think there was 12 of them. At the time, my dad was there. And he was in a recon platoon, as you can see. His job was to go out and sneak around. He worked for A, B, C, and D company of the first of the eight and did reconnaissance. There was three teams. That team that you're seeing right there is called Tracer 4. I've read some after-action reports of stuff that those guys did. I didn't think I ever told my dad that. Stuff that he did. Tracer 4 did this while Tracer 5 was doing this. I mean, pretty interesting read. He pulled three rescue missions in a 24-hour period. The first one was unsuccessful. But that man that you see right there is my dad. He's very calm. You wouldn't know back in the day what he was capable of doing. He is a sheep. He's an Englishman. But in each and every Israelite, there's an individual like that. See there. Now, that guy there, that whole group of guys, actually lived it. But you got to have your ducks in a row. You have to have your ducks in a row. Now, I'm not saying go out to war with guns. I'm not saying that. But mentally, every day when I wake up, I have the mentality of that guy that you see there. I have the mentality, I'm going to get up, I'm going to fight for my family, work hard, I'm going to navigate, I'm going to negotiate. I step in the ring with in the ring all the time with big companies and get my butt handed to me in bidding, this and that. I get smacked around all the time. But I fight every day because I'm not going my family down. I'm not going to let this ministry down. And I fight. For our war is not of this earth. It's of principalities and powers. It's of a mindset. Do not be deceived. Do not be led astray like I was and completely got sucked into what that dude was saying. Meanwhile, he completely left out the enemy that was holding all the power. We are Christian soldiers. How do we fight? We fight by changing the minds of our neighbors, of our families, of our friends. And we lead by example, showing them that anything can be accomplished, because if you take responsibility for the position you're in and start making better decisions, people will notice. People will ask. With that, I'm out of time. For those of you that belong to Jesus Christ, our King, the man, may he bless you and keep you, make his face shine upon you, and grant you peace. Out.
Thank you, brothers. Appreciate that. I wish I could have blamed playing the wrong video there on Justice, but that was my fault. I was taking care of it, so... Just so in case anybody was wondering about that. I had the same opinion, though. When I first saw that video that we played last week, I had sent it out to several people, and I was encouraged by it, and I was in the same boat. It never occurred to me that this person could or was on the other side, and did some research into it later on. Found that video, found a lot of other supporting, dug into it pretty deep this last week. And it was kind of disappointing, but I was just as guilty as Zach was not realizing, not even thinking that, you know, hey, this guy could be on the other side. We've only got a few minutes for before we partake of communion, and want to start with Psalms. And I wanted to start off with reading Psalms 37. Do not fret because of evildoers. Be not envious towards wrongdoers, for they will wither quickly like the grass and fade like the green herb. Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and cultivate faithfulness. Delight in him, he will give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust also in him, and he will do it. He will bring forth your righteousness as the light and your judgment as the noonday. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. Do not fret because of him who prospers in his ways, because of the man who schemes. Cease from anger and forsake wrath. Do not fret. It leads only to evil doing. For evildoers will be cut off, but those who wait for the Lord, they will inherit the land. Praise the Lord. We're going to... Oh, let us pray. We come before you, and as we partake of communion today, Father, we just come with grateful hearts. And I know that there was a lot of people that were out there that were traveling and joining family and friends for Thanksgiving. And Lord, we pray that we can be a people that are not just one day out of the year, but 365 days out of the year. I pray, Father, that you just soften our hearts as we turn our hearts and our minds back to you. And we pray, Father, that as we partake of communion, that you purify our hearts and our minds and our spirits. Just allow us to continue to grow closer to you. We pray that we don't fret because of the evildoers. We pray that that you continue to strengthen our faith and allow us to have that. We pray these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. You may partake.